You're listening to HG 101, a proud part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the HG 101 podcast is made possible by our amazing Patreon supporters who help keep the show alive by donating as little as $2 a month. You can be like them. By chipping in, you'll not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'll also gain access to our secret patrons-only RSS feed. That's the feed that gets an extra bonus episode every week. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Blast Man is a pyrotechnician who designs the explosive effects for movies and theme parks. In his spare time, he writes a column for his favorite magazine. I'd like to think it's an advice column.
Dear Blast Man, what happens if I've accidentally let all the spikes take over my house?
Dear Confused in Seattle, perhaps you should explode them. Sincerely, BM.
Blast Man, you should really think about your initials.
What? I see nothing wrong with this.
You're explosive in your name, BM.
Explosive BM. Yeah, that was what I was known as in high school. I don't know. Oh my God, I was the butt of all jokes. This is going in the column. So go to patreon.com/HG101 and donate a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101 we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
I may have to finish him off myself.
Hello, and welcome to the 259th episode of the Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast. I am Bobinator. Who is with me tonight?
Oh, we're doing the silent thing today. Yeah.
Are you not going to introduce yourselves?
I'm Texelbit.
I'm Carl.
Man, guys, get together.
All right. I can't speak English anymore. I only speak in that flip-flop language, I think.
Our game day is The Sims 4, nominated by, Bobinator? I can't read this. And he says, loophole suckers, ah ha ha ha, I think that's for Haas. Not really sure what's up with that, but we're doing his game now, so I hope he enjoys it.
Slip through all of the checks and balances. It's very, very modern nomination system we have now. Just wave right in by the man in power, The Sims.
This game was developed by Maxis, or what is left of them, under the publishing empire that is Electronic Arts. Released for the PC on September 2nd, 2014, worldwide.
2014? Is that right?
That's right.
This game is
SO, and they're never wrong.
This game is 5 years old.
It is, but it did get updates over the years, and the final but the latest one is actually from this year.
Oh yes, no, I mean, I don't know. It just, I'm used to The Sims 3, so to hear that this one is 5 years old is like, oh wow, Sims 3 is like 10 years old then.
We've never covered any sim game on this podcast, which really actually surprises me. I feel like it's kind of those things that's been, we've been waiting to cover this. It was only going to be so long for covered one. So,
this is some guy named Bobinator just pushed one through.
Hey, he had a good idea. What can I say?
Yeah, and what's the Sims? It wasn't even SimCity or SimAnd.
Or SimFarm. I believe there's a SimFarm.
Well, he could have picked SimHealth. I'm sure we've all enjoyed that.
Yeah, so we're doing The Sims, but The Sims 4, which means this is basically the worst possible one for us to cover, I think, of the... Cause...
Do you think it's worse than Sims 1?
Well, here's the thing. I imagined, I can't speak for him, but I imagine his thought process here was you can't really buy The Sims 1 anymore, and it's really hard to play on modern computers. Can't buy The Sims 2 anymore, and apparently 3's issue is crashing, so this is what's left.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I mean specifically is, this is the latest Sims game, which is good, but it is kind of the one that is the least ambitious, the least new, in a way. Obviously, The Sims 1, it's The Sims, it launched the entire media empire that is The Sims. The Sims 2 is basically that one refined down a lot. The Sims 3 is broke-ass ambition. This one is just kind of the next one, I think.
Yeah, this one here suffers from not everything from all the expansion packs of the previous Sims having been included. And I think that's a general issue if you release a game and then release something like 8 expansion packs. I recall The Sims 2 having their own shelf in the shop I visited. Because you had to physically buy all the expansion packs. And there were a lot of them. So when The Sims 4 originally released, it felt pretty bare bones because it didn't include absolutely everything, especially the like smaller and quirkier things. I think The Sims 2 or 3 had stuff like this weird plant you could have in your room that kind of looked like a cow, but was also carnivorous. Maybe they didn't have to include that specifically, but if you only have the basic stuff, and then people are going to miss stuff.
How the series basically works is each game is basically a completely new foundation that's a little better and a little better each time they start over, and they have to keep adding back onto that new foundation.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think it's good that we didn't cover this game 4 years ago, because its launch is probably the most infamous of the Sims games. Was kind of famous at the time for launching without, was it swimming pools? There were a couple of features that were in every single Sims game.
Basic ones. Yeah, swimming pools in The Sims are important because making one without a ladder to get out is a very slow but also very sure way to kill other people in this game.
I think we're going way too fast here. If you've been living somewhere where they don't have many video games, we should probably stop and describe The Sims real quick.
It's a life simulator.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's the life simulator.
Basically, you make a family of at least one person, up to 8, I believe. You put them in a house that you can design, and there's a lot of different tools to design really nice-looking houses. And basically, you make them live. You have them live their lives, you have them get jobs, interact with each other, and basically, there's not really a goal. The goal is whatever you set as you'd expect from a Sims game. Success is how you define it.
Well,
you could make the case that it's a survival game of sorts. not the most hardcore one, where you like starve immediately.
I mean, it's not Jones in the Fast Lane.
No. It does have a couple of modes like that, where I think in one of them you have to have your family survive for several generations. But yeah, it's a survival game of sorts.
I think it's worth... Bob says that there is no goal, but I do think The Sims 4, especially, it was toying more with adding even more sort of ambitions and goals to the characters.
But I think there's no single goal. It's not as simple as, let's say, Super Mario Bros., where the goal is go right and reach...
You don't get a credit screen because you beat life.
Yeah. I guess not really goals per se, as in you have to do this, finish the game. They're like, I guess you call them side quests that give you rewards for doing them that help you live better if you accomplish them, is how I'd put it.
Like it is a sandbox life simulator. which is quite, I mean, what is it? Was it described as the first game? Was it called a computer ant farm or something? Was that a thing that was thrown around for The Sims 1?
Either that or people called it a dollhouse a lot too, and I guess that's not entirely wrong.
Yeah, because
it feels very toy-like in some regards, especially with the expansion packs, because those are a little bit similar to getting additional toys in addition to your to your dollhouse. So you get the dollhouse, and then later on you get the fire station you put right next to it, or maybe the elementary school and stuff like that. So it's very modular in that regard.
You get a clubhouse in this one. It's literally an expansion. Well, it's a game pack, I think is what it's called. It's a clubhouse. Yeah. You just get a clubhouse.
I think
clubhouse.
We need to cover the base game a little bit before going to expansions.
No, it's impossible.
So, basically, you don't control any of the characters you make directly. They kind of do their own thing.
I disagree.
Well,
they can be autonomous.
Because if you leave them alone, they'll do their own thing and try to keep their needs met, but you can also order them to do things, and they may or may not listen, depending on your mood, and to actually really succeed at the game, you kind of have to micromanage them and have them really do everything you want them to do.
Which sounds like you're controlling them.
I guess. I mean, technically.
I think it's less direct. It's not like you just have one character and move them around exclusively, and they won't do anything unless you intervene.
Sometimes people call this one a god sim as well, which I guess is God directing someone's life, and they have the ability to decline to be directed, but they'll usually do what you say, unless they're going to go crazy or, you know, fall asleep or something, because they have mood bars. Oh, not mood. No, those aren't the mood bars. Are they? What are they called?
Help. They're mood bars.
No, are they the mood bars? Because I don't think needing to use the toilet is exactly a mood, but I guess they call them moodlets? Or is that a... No, they don't. Sorry, there's a lot of sim terms I'm trying to remember here.
To their credit in this game, I feel like they removed a lot of, like, having to manage their needs all the time. Stuff like hunger and using the bathroom go down a lot slower, and generally, you improve your sim's mood by having them experience positive things that give them mood buffs. And you can see the buffs that are active at any time, so you know it's making them happy or unhappy.
I believe this one pushed the mood buffs harder than the other games. I'm trying to get across the differences because The Sims Sims 1 to 4 is, as you said, incremental changes, and I'm trying to remember specifically what is the incremental changes in this particular game. Because I think focusing more on moods was pushed harder in this one after they were introduced in the third game. Is that right?
Yeah, basically your sim always has a mood, and, like, different things can influence it. So they can end up, like, being, like, flirty if they take a bubble bath, or energetic if they go jogging, and that determines the way they act with the world, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think those are new to this one, because before your sim was basically either happy or sad, and yeah, that was dictated by all the different stats they had, and they had, I think they had a, like, if all your moods were great, or all of your things were great, then they would be extra good or something, but they didn't have, like, I'm feeling angry and stomp around, which I think was more of a feature for this one, I think, number four. Oh, did you mention that you actually start the game by making a person?
Right. There is a character creator. It's not bad. It's pretty good at making, you know, semi-realistic cartoon people.
It makes Sims characters. You don't make realistic people. You make slightly cartoony people. The reason I wanted to mention this is this one, I think, actually makes a shift from the infamous screen of sliders that you get in most character creators, and instead is a, like, you get, like, a sort of putty face where you just kind of, like, physically manipulate their faces and stuff with, like, the mouse, I think.
I like that, though. It feels really natural.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's one of the interesting enhancement of this one, is kind of to try and push away from the, oh, you want to make the nose bridge slightly longer, so push up the nose bridge slider, and it's like, cool.
it also means you don't have to click through, like, 45 faces,
yes,
and then go back to phase 27, which now is your favorite, but you didn't know because you had to click through all of them before you could actually determine that.
So,
and yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wanted to mention that I think the character creator is doing pretty well in this one.
I will say there's not really enough clothing options for my taste, but that's just me.
Well, Bob, did I mention the expansion packs earlier?
We'll get to that. There's a little bit more.
They are essential.
I do want to say, though, that this game does really well at supporting a lot of different like skin tones and body types, and it's even really good about handling different sorts of genders, which is, you know, really good to see in the year 2019.
Well, that's true. The game kind of knows its audience, I think, and it's kind of determined that its audience is probably more interested in these features than more likely be like, I'm not buying the game because it does this. It makes good sense that it has a surprisingly diverse array of features, including, if you're really interested, this is weird because I was like, oh, wow, it's in there. The different Sims can either, when they use the bathroom, they can stand up or sit down, and you are able to just pick which one you feel like. That's the kind of depth that now goes into is how would they use the bathroom. It's up to you, player. You declare on this Sim what they like.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering about that a little bit more, everything gets pixelated.
I think they still keep their clothes on in general, too. They're completely clothed. Nothing changes. It's weird, The Sims. I love the pixelation. It's a classic thing, right from The Sims 1.
Once you're done making your people, you can also build your own house. And that's kind of tricky, because you kind of have to know how to make a good-looking house. But you get a lot of tools and options to mess with, and it's possible, if you spend enough time with it, make something that looks really nice.
It's usually viewed from 3/4-ish perspective. Like, you've got full 3D camera, obviously, but it's usually kind of that quintessential, like, dollhouse cutaway angle is the usual viewing of the game angle.
But you also get a limited budget in the beginning, so you might not be able to create your dream house.
Now, does this one let you cheat still, or have they removed cheats so that you buy...
There are cheats, yeah.
Cheats are still there? All right.
Yes.
I don't recommend using them, though.
That gets you a lot of Sim dollars?
Is it simoleons? It better be simoleons.
It's simoleons,
yeah, I think.
I personally, I don't like to cheat in The Sims in general. I get it, if you play The Sims for, like, thousands of hours, you should probably at some point start cheating, but I think if you just immediately remove any restrictions on what you can spend, it cuts out a big chunk of the actual game's progress as such.
I think it's nice to just try things for a bit.
Yeah.
But then maybe go back to just playing the game regularly and trying to achieve that without using cheats.
Yeah. Like, there's a game in there. There's a lot of mechanics going on. And I don't like to just rip them straight out and build, like, a super fortress, but... so your Sim, you've built your house, which more or less has to obey the laws of, like, construction and, like, sort of the physical boundaries of reality. You don't have to know those, but the game won't let you kind of build a ridiculous house that's like a giant box on a single stilt, I think.
Well, you can build one without a bathroom, which is also ridiculous. So it does let you do that.
I don't know if they ever outhouse, right? You could just do like a little box and put
you can do that. I think you can just put the toilet on your patio if you really want to. I guess it's an outhouse of sorts.
It is outhouse. Once you built your house and you've created your Sim, you basically now are engaged in the life simulator where your Sim, as we said, has different mood things that they have to maintain. They're all fairly reasonable, like basic stuff like social bar, like tiredness, kind of like hunger. And you have to keep those bar filled by spending money on generally food and social activities. And so you have to get a job. There's literally no welfare in the Sims universe. It's a hellscape.
Well, you could just sit around painting all day. There are ways to make money without doing a job, but it takes a lot more work, just like in real life.
Bob, I'm going to beat your ass if you say that painting isn't a job. I will. Come over there.
Okay, Bob. I phrase that poorly.
But yeah, like, I know what you mean. The game has jobs, which are things that you use your newspaper or your computer in-game to apply for, and then you get given pretty much always. Oh, it's wonderful. It's a dream come true. Just call up on the phone, they'll hand you a job. But, you will get a job, and then your Sim will leave for large swaths of time, which the game will fast-forward through, thankfully. Or you can do, as Bob said, you can do arts and crafts and I think a few other jobs within the house.
You can be a professional gamer.
That's a new one for this one, or did they add that in 3?
It definitely wasn't in 2.
No, it wouldn't have been in 2.
Because back then, the idea of you just playing games and making money that way would have been ridiculous.
I'm sure that Vitality was around then, wasn't he? There was a couple of professional gamers, not many.
I mean, there's people like Todd Rogers who have been around since the 70s or 80s, but yeah, maybe Todd Rogers isn't a good example.
He also still had to leave the house.
The thing is, though, the loop of, like, filling your needs, going to work, and just repeating that kind of does get a little bit repetitive, so you do want to try to keep an eye out for things you can do to kind of switch things up. And now, I think, might be an okay time getting expansions, if you guys are ready for that.
Sorry, Bob, you're going to have to hand over $40 before we can talk about expansions.
This game has priced somewhat extravagantly, we'll say.
Well, I will say this is my main defense for the expansions in The Sims. The people that are playing The Sims, a lot of them, the demographic of The Sims, is people who basically just play The Sims and maybe a couple other games. So they're not really bothered by having to pay like a decent chunk of money per expansion, because that's their entire spend on video games, so I don't think it really bothers them all that much.
At least you can also pick and choose a little bit. There's a fair amount of games where you don't really have to get the DLC, but you probably want a good chunk of it here. You might not want all of it. And the same was true for a couple of the older Sims games as well. For example, the second one had a magic add-on, if you really wanted to be Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but you didn't really have to get that. So if you weren't interested
in
that...
I think that was in the first game. I don't think the second game had that.
I think all of them have a magic expansion pack by now.
Okay.
I mean, it depends how, like, because some of them do, so The Sims 3 had Supernatural, which included witches who have magic, but I don't believe The Sims 3 had a magic-exclusive expansion, whereas The Sims 1 had a magic school expansion thing, because that's exactly when Harry Potter was humongously popular, so.
Mm-hmm. Kind of tonally wacky, so you might have an expansion that, like, gives you hobbies like gardening or playing chess people. Or you might have one that lets you go to, like, ancient temples and might possibly die looking for treasure. You don't know what you're going to get.
Well, I hope you read the back of the box. I actually wanted to mention when Tax said...
Did you buy this on, like, a physical box?
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, because this game, the Sims games, and, like, copies of the Blizzard Battle Chest and assorted, like, WoW expansion packs are pretty much the two things that keep PC games on the shelves in various retailers. They are... pretty much the only things that are definitely guaranteed to be there is you go in and it'll be The Sims and The Sims expansion packs and just all of them. And it's been like that for, I guess, 15 years at this point.
It depends on where you are. If you're in Germany, there will also be a dedicated shelf for simulation games.
Is it all farm and, simulator? Because, you know, The Sims is a simulation game.
No, the farm simulators will have their dedicated, like, subshelf on the dedicated simulator shelf. Next to the other PC games.
Do you guys still really do a lot of big box gaming aside from the simulations?
So I've been slightly out of the loop because I haven't been living in Germany for a couple of years now. But traditionally, the PC games take up the largest part. So it's not Xbox and PlayStation. I know that, at least in North America, that tends to be the case. You might just go to a shop and there might be no PC games.
You don't really see any PC games in
it. Yeah, because they're all digital. I think the market is just different. Because people like their physical boxes, and the demographics are also different. As Cal said, there are some people who pretty much only play The Sims, and there's also people who only play the simulation games. And those are often people from a demographic that's a little bit older. And they might use Steam and download stuff and everything, but they also like to have their box on the shelf, and that's also how they pick their games in the first place. And yeah, that's also highlighted by...
Because you have mentioned this, and it is relevant to what you just said. This game, like The Sims 3, kind of strong-arms you into using Origins, which is, you know, EA's Steam.
Yeah, it basically forces you to. There's no other option.
All the EA games have done that since, I think, for the last 10 years or so. I think the only thing that came out on Steam that doesn't require you to launch Origin through Steam, which kind of beats the point there, is, I think, some legacy stuff. But apart from that, that's pretty much it.
But yeah, because basically you can buy physical copies of this game, but you get dragged out to install Origins, even if you're a Luddite. Yeah.
At the very least, they do have some pretty okay sales and other such things.
Yeah, while
they actually put out this game for free on Origin, that's how I got it.
Yeah, like Well, they want you to get it because then you might buy expansions. And that's what I want to say. Like, even if we do sort of say, oh, the expansions are very expensive, I'm pretty sure if you are patient and keep an eye on Origins, I'm pretty sure the expansions will go off between 50 and 75% off. They go quite deep discounts once they start getting a little older, if you're patient about this, it.
That said, I'm sorry, go ahead, Tax.
I just want to add that since Cal mentioned they want you to buy expansions, the game was somewhat bare bones when it was released, up to the point where it was excused of being so bare bones that it's just a vector for the expansions, as opposed to a legitimate game that you can get additional stuff for.
And to be fair, they did patch in more stuff for free as time went on, but it still feels a little bit empty at times.
I think that they either did rush the game out, or they were legitimately trying to pull a fast one on people, and the reputation of The Sims 4 suffered for it, so I think they kind of needed to sort of build a little bit of goodwill.
Yeah. I think one of the problems was that they said, oh, we can't just include everything from Sims 3. And the problem is, yes, you can. Because this is developer Electronic Arts, who's one of the world's largest video game publisher. I'm not saying I expect them to do it. But to say that you can't include it is flat out wrong. But of course, another issue there was that these statements came from Maxis, the developer, who, considering that they're part of Electronic Arts, are not the people who make the ultimate decisions. So they were probably bound by whatever the executives decided would be done with regard to this game here.
Well, I will
mention, wasn't a good way to market.
Can I say
this,
one thing real quick?
Way. Yep.
I don't think you're meant to buy all the expansions. At least, like you said, you kind of pick and choose, because it kind of depends on the kind of game you want to play. Because you want like a somewhat realistic life drama, you don't want the expansion to make like a freeze ray.
I will say, so this game has three tiers of expansions-related stuff. It has essentially stuff packs, which are just, like, basically spend money to get available in the game to buy, like, you know, furniture or clothes, and they don't usually change the game. It's just stuff. They have game packs, which are usually smaller, more condensed expansions. As I said, there's a Clubhouse one, is it a Halloween one? Ooh, I'm trying to remember. There's a vampire one. That's right. They put vampires in this one in a game pack, which is an expansion pack that is purely the vampires as a thing and not a lot else. I think it might come with a town, but they don't consider it a major expansion. And then
Vampire pack coincidence? That was later. I was just wondering whether that coincided with the release of a certain teenage vampire romance film series.
I think this is after.
No, the game pack in this one, and then there is expansion packs, which are generally quite large, will add pretty hefty new mechanics. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. Depending on the one that you get, it will add very little or a lot.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you will pick and choose. I think if you will get The Sims 4 at any point, you will basically be incredibly tempted, if you are enjoying The Sims 4, to get some of the expansion packs. Because some of it is stuff that I assume most people playing it will really want. As is Sims tradition at this point, if you want pets, like dogs, cats, and other bullcrap, you have to get the pets expansion, because it's still an expansion! It's not built in. If you want a dog, you gotta pay money for that.
Real quick, though, if anyone is interested in this game and is curious to expansions, I would recommend looking at the Lazy Game Reviews. He does reviews of all the expansions of these games, and he does a very good overview of each, so that's a good way of knowing what to expect you're getting for your money.
What's funny about LGR specifically, just as a minor aside, is I believe doing Sims reviews is actually what boosted his popularity enough that he got actually popular enough to continue to do what he does. No matter how many retro games he covered, it was hitting the Sims expansion packs that really boosted his view count enough to sort of...
Yeah, also considering that there's about 1,000 expansion packs, you can't really call yourself lazy game reviews, and while also reviewing all those packs.
There's like 12? Or is it 8?
I think it's 8 full packs.
Yeah.
But there's also some patch upgrades that kind of work like small... Well, they're not really DLC.
And they're not done yet. They're still releasing.
They work like that.
They're still coming.
I think this game here seems to be on track of being more of a perpetual thing.
Yeah.
They probably have to upgraded fully at one point, but I think this is, it's not an MMO, but I think it might be treated like one when it comes to updates and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's something that I want to talk about The Sims 4 in relation to The Sims 3 specifically, because when you mentioned that they couldn't just, they could probably just put things across, one of the big things about The Sims 4 is it is a pretty substantial engine rewrite. It's a less ambitious engine rewrite, because the third game had basically a perpetual world. It had, everything was kind of active all at once. Every building in the town that you were in was kind of active, and all of the AI agents were always moving all around. It was very impressive, and that's why, as Bob said, it crashes all the time.
Yeah, it's a big system hog, unfortunately, even today.
You basically will want to.
I think SimCity 4 did something different, did something similar, where you also have like citizens being active all the time.
Which thing?
SimCity 4.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I think they did something similar as well, where like citizens go to work in specific places and stuff like that.
And The Sims 4 seems to have been very consciously the opposite of that. They shrunk the town size down a lot. They went and basically stripped out all the real-time like stuff. Everything is not maybe in a perpetual state of freeze, but it just kind of, you know, processes a little bit when you visit an area. It doesn't do big changes. And so it's only whatever block of land you're looking at, it's back to the Sims 2, Sims 1 style. That's the only one that's actually truly active, as I understand it. So they basically had to redo everything again to make it less impressive, which is a bit of a shame, but it's a lot more stable, which is good if you're kind of interested more in just the specific life sim stuff, but on the very light on the sim side, rather than 3, which is quite heavy on the sim side, because kind of had a real world that somewhat progressed.
I think there is some progression, although, because any people you aren't controlling, I believe they will age eventually and possibly die if you let the game run long enough. So there's
that. I believe that's true way back in The Sims 1. It does do...
Nah, there's no aging in The Sims 1, I don't think.
Are you sure? That doesn't sound...
I think
they did add it later, but I think it was The Sims 3 that had these potions of longevity.
No, that was The Sims 2.
Was that Sims 2?
Yeah, Sims 2 is when they had aging. That was like one of the big new features, I think.
Because you definitely... you had like the weird baby... You got the baby system. That's way back in 1. You can have children, if I remember correctly. Is that right? Maybe I'm confused. I have played all of these games, and it has apparently been 20 years, so I'm very confused.
Yep, and they all blend together a little.
They do.
Old.
I have no idea what happens in any one of them specifically. And I have reread like all the information about these games to prepare for this. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm just totally tripped out on The Sims. But, This game actually generates you can have children in this game. It tries to blend the Sims faces together as well in this one, right? To kind of like make the children like the parents.
I think that's been a thing since 2, but it's still pretty neat.
Yeah, I hope it works better in this one. You get some ugly ass babies in the previous games, some real monsters.
Yeah, but in the very early games, everybody just kind of looked like a generic toy person.
That's right.
It's literally the same model with, like, different face textures wrapped around the head part.
But this one, obviously, they have more distinctive faces. So, I want to say, you did mention the expansions. The expansions are actually kind of aimed at... they're a bit weird, because, like, they put the... In Get to Work, I think, is that the name of the expansion in this one, or is that from the 3? Anyway, the job expansion in this one includes the alien stuff for some reason, which is kind of not... Amazing.
Yeah, like I said, these games are tonally completely inconsistent.
Oh, yeah.
Which I guess is part of the charm.
They don't
take themselves seriously at all, which I think is kind of a plus for a... If you have a life scenario where it's like too realistic, you just end up feeling sad, so...
Yeah, back to Jonathan the Fast Lane.
Yeah, exactly. Rough.
And to be fair, most people probably want to escape their dreadful existence for a bit while playing this game. And not like boot up their computer... And then be reminded of that.
Yeah, this one definitely feels like it wants to go in that direction. Although, it's only recently that I think they've brought back quite a lot of the crazier elements. Because I think a recent expansion had the mermaids come back as well in the seaside expansion. It brought those back.
Island Living is the one, I think.
Yeah, and they've
also... bring back, like, the temples you could explore? Because remember, 3 had, like, literal dungeons with actual puzzles you had to solve.
They got a jungle exploration one in this one. I don't think they brought back the full world adventures. They did bring Jungle Adventures or something it's called, and that one does let you go off and get murdered by skeletons.
I always love, like, the temple exploration. It's, like, so unlike the rest of the game. It's, like, basically a completely different game.
And it's running on the Sims engine, which is really cool. Like, it's just this kind of ridiculous, light RPG kind of thing on the Sims engine while you're yelling at this asshole to go and do something. the other thing is... What was... Oh, this one has a new... I wanted to mention one of the expansions very specifically because it's kind of different. You've got... I think it's... Is it called Strangeville, the actual expansion? Or what is it called?
I think that's a town that comes with it, but I don't remember the actual expansion that comes with it.
But this one is actually almost a point-and-click adventure game to an extent, since you basically investigate a town if you choose the, basically, a couple of different jobs in that town. You can kind of, like, investigate, like, a conspiracy going on in the town, like a sort of X-Files thing going on. Like, there's this whole extra sort of side questing system that they put in, I believe, for that specific expansion pack. So this one's, again, added some less sandboxy expansions and some very specific, like, escapist, fantastical, like, game expansions, which is interesting, as opposed to just adding more weird lifestyle stuff, which is a hallmark of most of the other games. They haven't put in the future stuff in this one yet, which was the last expansion in 3, but I'm sure they'll get there. Anything else to say about The Sims 4?
Yeah, I do have one thing I'm meaning to say. I think, really, once you have all the expansions of this game, you really kind of have to be willing to, like, roleplay a little bit, because I don't think that you can do everything in this game with, like, one sim. You literally won't live long enough unless you disable the aging and become some kind of...
As Tack said, I believe that the long life potions are still in the game in some form. They typically put those in somewhere, even if they're buried in one of the expansions that are available.
Point is, I think you kind of need to come into this game with a concept of who you're going to play and kind of stick to that to really get the best experience. You kind of have to be willing to stick to the story you've decided on.
Now,
yeah, I think it's actually a strength. You probably don't want to play this game and then, like, start out serious and then become a vampire and then, like, hunt aliens or whatever. I don't think... maybe if you do want to, that's cool. You could do that. But I don't think that's what I would do. I'd probably just take that as additional replay value and then do more wacky things in a later playthrough.
Like, you could play the game just as it's presented, you know, try to, just survive and keep making money and just keep doing that until you die. But it's more fun to set a goal, like, I don't know, sleep with everybody in town.
Well, you can, the game facilitates that, right? Because you can try and build that into your character's aspirations, because I think they're...
Right, that is a certain... There are certain, like, goals you pick for your character, and you get rewards for acting the way, doing the things they want to do. So I guess that is one way they make the game more game-like.
Yeah, because if you want to have a work-orientated person, you can pick that. If you want to have someone who wants to have a big family, you can pick that. And I'm pretty sure you can get the crazier ones as you get further into the expansions, like, ooh, I want to fight vampires or something, and then you can pick that as your life goal is to murder vampires. Like, I don't think there's a murderer Sims.
No, you can't kill anybody unless you dig deep enough in the mods, but we're not covering that.
There's a gun mod, because of course there is. Yeah, and in the previous games you couldn't directly murder people, but you could do stuff like building a swimming pool you can never escape from.
Or you could lead people in the basement and delete the door and just wait.
That's true. Hmm?
I love the one that someone did. I think it was in the very first game where they removed all the furniture in the house but wooden stuff, and then trapped a sim around a fireplace and then surrounded them with wooden chairs and just waited for, like, the random event to light everything on fire.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that's the case in this game here, where if you use any form of electronics and you don't have expertise, you immediately kill yourself.
Yeah, it's hard to die, generally, which I guess is a good and bad thing.
It's an interesting one. I wanted to mention, Bob, would you say this is a role-playing game for normies? Would you say that? Is that something you'd be willing to say?
Well, I would say this kind of attracts a different audience. than a lot of games. We discussed Second Life not that long ago, and I think you could say there's a little bit of crossover there between this and that kind of audience of people trying to live in a way that they currently aren't doing now.
Most likely impossible to do because of the ridiculous things this game offers. I do find interesting, this one, they tried it once, but there's very little online components in any of the Sims game. It is a personal experience in that way.
Yeah, you'd think they would just try to turn this one into an MMO, because it's... I'm not saying they should do that,
but
it
seems... They did that once, and it didn't go very well.
Yeah, but you think that would be an obvious choice, but I think that ties into what Cal says about this audience here. Those are people that maybe just want to play the game by themselves, just have the actual physical boxes on the shelf, and aren't really interested in just doing that with a bunch of other people. And maybe they're even playing the game so they can escape that and don't have to hang out with even more people.
So I think we can talk about ranking if you guys
are ready. We do have to rank it, yes.
Yep, all right. We can do that.
So I think this is probably like the most... I don't know if I would say this is the best of the Sims games. I would say it's the most refined. It's the most stable. It's...
I would agree on stable. I did kind of hint before, I find it's got a lack of ambition that I think pretty much every previous Sims game had some embodiment of ambition.
Just going through the main gameplay loop is easier than it has been, because like you have like needs slowing down, not going down as quickly, I should say, and that makes the game a little bit more tolerable for playing long periods.
I don't know, I never really found a huge problem with the speed of the Sims boss, but I mean, that's...
And 268, we have Creatures.
Creatures! Well, love
I
creatures.
I don't really see us putting another Sims game above this, I'll say that.
Ooh, now I would probably disagree. I would probably put all of them above this, maybe.
I'm not sure. I don't think I would put the first one above this. But to be honest, it had been quite a while since I've played The Sims 2. And I've played that in the context of the time where it was released, so I'm not quite sure.
Certainly with The Sims 1, it's foundational. It's a very interesting game in terms of just it being made and released, and then, yeah. I mean, the thing about
this
one...
I would put it above Creatures, but to say.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, okay, so...
I just wanted to bring in a comparison point.
Yeah, I do want to say, we did mention the expansions. I don't know if we mentioned the expansions. But
we got to factor on if we're including the expansions or not.
Yes, because this game by itself is, as you said, probably the not shallowest, but definitely the least, like, the lightest in content of any of the Sims games, excluding possibly the first game, and I think I'll forgive that one for potentially having less content. But,
to be fair, even if we exclude the expansions, we should include the patches. Mm-hmm. And the patches already fix a couple of things, like adding babies and stuff, like the baby life stage. But yeah, to be honest, minus expansions. But I'm not sure whether we should really judge the game based on that, because it kind of... I think after feeling the expansions are more integral. They're modular, but at the same time, they're more integral to the experience.
I personally wouldn't play this game without Seasons. Like, that's me personally. I really like the Seasons expansion, because I
think... Really, though, if we're being realistic, I think this game has to go in, like, at least top 100, because...
Top 100?
We're probably not going to do another Sims game, and I mean...
I don't care if we're not doing another Sims game.
Look, the series, you know how big these games were back in, like, 2000 or so.
Yeah, so Sims 1 could go up there, if that's the thing for the Sims.
But are we going to rank, like, every Sims game?
And, I don't know, are we going to rank...
Probably not.
Are we going to rank every other...
We will eventually, at one point, in the next 500 years.
I right, put so many games low because we're probably going to put their thing higher. I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard that we put a game high because it's the only one we're going to do for that genre.
This, but what we have ranked games high as a franchise representative.
I wouldn't say this is a good... I mean, I will admit the Sims games are kind of all, as we said, they blend together as the same game, but I don't know if I would...
Okay. Let's go back a bit. At 226, we have Second Life, which we compared this game to previously.
Mm-hmm.
This is better than Second Life.
Okay.
I think it's better. Because Second Life is mostly glorified chat room. And this game here gets you sort of a Second Life, but minus all the weird people.
I mean, it's glorified chat room in Second Life. And it's full of weird people. Although I think this franchise has plenty of weird people as fans, but...
Oh, definitely.
I mean, it has that baby barbecue mod. You gotta put that out for talking weird people.
Are we putting it higher or lower because of the baby barbecue mod?
I'll leave that up to you.
Mods don't count.
No, they don't usually. I think
the only thing we could include is that the game does have a lot of mods as a feature, but not the mods themselves. It is a feature, but...
You do kind of need the expansions and the mods if you... It's got a very active community, and you definitely have a lot of stuff if you like the game to get into. I don't know. This is more of a... Like, The Sims 4, more than any of the other Sims game, is basically a vessel to enable you to play The Sims. Sounds a little weird, but it's tricky to define this one as its own distinctive game, when it is the culmination of the Sims games, as if you liked The Sims and The Sims 2 and couldn't run The Sims 3, good news, this is The Sims.
Okay, let's try this again. At 143, we've got Boku no Natsuyasumi as a life simulator kind of game.
Okay.
I wasn't on that one, so I don't really know much about it, aside from it is a life sim, so okay. You're going to have to give your thoughts there.
Well, it's not as good as Boku no Natsuyasumi. That's all I got. You know, because 144 is Homeworld, which has an entire home world that's bigger than a single simulation of a neighborhood. Yeah.
Okay, so we're just going by like galactic scale. I would say Homeworld is better because it's a more unique game than The Sims 4.
Like 169, we have Age of Wonders Shadow Magic, which I think is better than this game.
Okay.
I know Tax loves Shadow Magic, so I'm gonna...
Oh yeah, it's my favorite game in the series.
I know, that's what I'm like.
I think we're getting closer, though, at least.
Getting baited by Cal here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the area is right. I would rank this above Super Mario Land, which I do like. But Super Mario Land suffers a little bit from being an early, like, handheld adaptation of a different game. So I'd be happy to rank it above that.
I would put it above Dragon Quest V, but you know me.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Doesn't like Dragon Quest V. Ooh.
Right. So how about between Spider-Man 2 and Age of Wonders? What do you think?
That looks good to me.
I will put in a dissenting opinion, but it doesn't matter, because that's 2-1, so...
Where would you put it, just out of curiosity?
Somewhere in the 200s, probably. I don't think, as I said, the fact that they gutted this one to make it kind of a platform to sell DLC doesn't sit right with me.
I can understand that.
But it's up to you two. If you want to put it there, I'm not going to stop you, because I can't.
The question is, how much marketing practice do we want to let factor into this ranking?
Last offer. How about right between Mega Man 5 and Diablo 2, if we're talking sequels that maybe weren't as good as their prequels?
You're going to put this above Diablo 2. Is that right? That's
okay.
That's, right. No, I'm just asking. I don't care about Diablo 2.
No, I would probably not put it above Diablo 2. If it were an earlier Sims game, maybe, but...
I'll tell you what, if we're going to go even a little lower, I'm not putting it above Illbleed. And I don't think I have to explain why it's Illbleed.
Okay, that's fair. But you could make Dog's Bower in this game. You could live...
You could, indeed. You get Dog's Bower,
and you could
get
be adept eat. All the time and take many baths.
That is very true, because there's a spa expansion. There's an expansion just for... There is, I'm not making that up.
Yes, I know, it's like Spar Day is the name of the expansion, or the game pack. It's
that. That is true.
All right.
Okay, so between Illbleed and Advance Wars 2, final offer.
Let's put it there, but only because I've realized that I could just play a game as Dog's Bower. Once again, we could bring him back, and that's the joy of The Sims, is living whatever damn well life you feel like. And I do think that the fact that this one doesn't bug out all the time is a substantially good thing compared to the previous one.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101, I know, I did, by subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.